Welcome to another episode of What Do You Know? This is the sixth episode of this program on the Oroville Radio. Thank you for listening right now or later as a podcast. And this is the premiere of the first Zoom guest we have on the program and on the Oroville Radio as a whole. And our guest today is Muna, longtime friend of Oroville and friend of mine. And I'm really happy to see her. I mean, I can see her. We're on Zoom. And you can also hear her soon. And just to give you a little bit of an idea, Muna is a very multi-talented, faceted personality. She's a facilitator, writer, a host. You correct me if I say anything wrong, right?
Sure.
And has been also, if I may say, been very dedicated to Oroville in her work for the past, I don't know how many years actually you would say that you've been active in the Oroville International Network, especially Oroville International Germany, but also Oroville International Europe. And I know that the topic of human unity and unity and diversity, which of course is very close to the heart of Oroville and what the philosophy underlying it is about, that's very, yeah, you're passionate about that. So I'd really like to hear from you about anything you have going on at the moment, projects that might relate to these topics, or your work, or just generally anything you feel like sharing with our listeners. So welcome.
Thank you. Hi, and thanks for having me. It's not nice, but I'm going to say a cold welcome from, or hello from Berlin. We're having snow. We're stuck in snow, 10 centimeters or more. Everything is white. And I'm not a fan of snow. And usually during this time of year, I'm in Oroville. So this is bizarre. But it's okay.
Yeah.
Winter experience.
Yes. No, it's a... Yeah, let's talk about uplifting, inspiring things.
Instead of snow.
Yeah, it's just the snow. It's only snow that could, you know, in any way. Otherwise, everything is fine. And
sure. It all depends on your outlook on life.
Positive, right?
Aren't we?
Yeah, and I forgot what I wanted to say.
Well, then I'll talk for a while, because you were talking about me being involved in AVI Germany. I think it started in 2003 or four. No, probably a bit late, four or five. I don't know anymore. Who remembers dates? Because there was still the German Pavilion Group. And I was intrigued in that because I like the idea of the international zone where you can meet and experience cultures and from all over the world and their history. And that's how I sort of got involved in the whole AVI business. Yeah. But as you mentioned, the drawing me to Oroville, or which keeps me going and I find fascinating in the whole world, is this game plan between individual and collective unity and diversity. How are you going to make this work? It can't be that difficult. Seriously.
Right. It's just been a couple of thousands, tens of thousands of years that we tried. So now 50 years of Oroville, like...
Yeah, no, optimism again.
Optimism. So, yeah, how would you describe your understanding, or what do you find most inspiring about the vision of Oroville, or this philosophical outlook, human unity in diversity?
Yeah, I think that's it. That's what I find most appealing. I like the idea of creating something new. I'm never interested in the old. When I have friends talking to me and explaining to me what they like about the current system or the good old days, and I'm just like, but we've been there, you know. Let's do something new. And I like the trial and error. I like the possibility of doing something you believe in. I like the fact that at heart, again, the optimist speaking, I believe that most people, if not all people, and who are truly Oravillians at heart, if not on paper, that there's a passion and idealism, and that's something I miss in my daily life in Berlin. People are passionate about clubbing or food, which is fine, but I like that. That, generally speaking, I think I could strike up a conversation and have something deeper or a deeper connection with people. And that's something I find uplifting, encouraging, motivating. And then there's the whole game plan of unity and diversity. So what's not to love?
And this unity and diversity, I mean, this program, no, like in the program description, this thing about worldviews, that this is a space for conversations, mm-hmm. about in between worldviews and the experiences that relate and practices. And what I find, I mean, one can say, okay, Oroville exists now, it's going for 50 years, and there's so many practical experiments happening that are very inspiring. There's no outreach work going on, no, in so many areas like the environmental work or social work, all these kind of things. And I find fascinating the question and how far that still relates back, or how relevant the worldview is that Oroville came from in a certain way, no? The philosophy, particularly of where the name comes from, Oroville, Sri Aurobindo. And I know, I mean, we've been talking about that too. We have actually been studying that also together, no? We've been reading together over the years in Berlin. And I wonder if there's something particularly, because as you said, this optimism, that it's not just in a way that it's there's a rational argument for it. No, there's a whole philosophy, there is a whole, to me, that's one of the fascinating things, that it even makes sense, that Sri Aurobindo argued so well why evolution collectively might be going somewhere hopeful, rather than, it's just chance or.
Oh, definitely. Oh gosh, I've always had this conversation, in the sense of, if nothing ever changes and we're just here as a human race to procreate, then I'd always say, okay, why am I here? There's no point in me being a part of this, because I'm sure I can make a contribution to whatever evolution is leading to. And I think every person can do that. I have that very strong belief. It's just a question of finding your niche, your place. And if you found that, and Oroville is such a great place to provide that opportunity for a lot of people to explore, to find out, and maybe even just to start thinking of what they want to give to the world, instead of how can I make my life the most comfortable? And that's just the outer side. I mean, there's the inner development, which I think you can't run away from. You can hide, but then somehow life catches up with you, no matter where on earth you're living, and you'll get the chance to think or to ponder some deep questions, which some people do and some people don't, and both is fine. But I've always been a why person. I think my mom said my first word was why.
And at the same time, you're super practical, no? And what you just said, you have been facilitating now for a couple of years, young people doing exactly what you said, coming to Oroville and having the chance to experience a place that provides this freedom.
Yeah. I mean, you were part of it, right? The whole Weltwärts program.
Yeah.
That was before my time, when Matthias went. Yeah, but it's one of the most satisfying jobs, in the sense of guiding a person to find their own place in the world. I find that very satisfying, and also to provide them with tools to reflect on themselves, how they contribute to certain situations, or why things develop in a certain way, or if there's an alternative point of view, that not, life isn't usually black and white, and nor can you have your own perception and say, oh yeah, Matthias did something wrong and I'm always right. Usually life isn't that simple. And I'd like it if people dare to question their own points of view and try to step in someone else's shoes. And then I think, a different way of working and living together might be created. I'm a bit shy off on the optimism at the moment.
Run out of optimism. Why would that be? Everything's just great. Is there anything you feel maybe inspired to share about what you feel? How many people have come to Orville from Germany, young people, through the WeltWärts program now by this point?
Oh God. More than 100. I think we're nearing 200 or 220. I'm not sure. Definitely more than 175. That's the only number I know.
Okay. And
not a numbers girl.
And they are, so for those who don't know the program, they stay here for a year in Orville and they stay in one project the whole time. Is that correct?
Yes, that's the aim. That's what they should learn is to choose something and stick with it for 12 months.
Yeah. And is there something like, because to describe your work, you, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guide those young people through kind of through the whole process, right? From you there, from the application.
Administration stuff. Yeah. That's the charming side of guiding people. Administration, passports, visa issues. Yep. Vaccinations, everything they need to know, health insurance.
But also the beautiful part where, you know, like you see them before and during these preparatory seminars. And then is one at the half time point.
Yeah, midterm. Exactly. Midterm. Yeah, we're doing two before they leave for India. So they get the first seminar takes place parallel to the Orville Germany meeting. So they get to meet a whole bunch of interesting, crazy family members. And then they can converse. Usually there are a few Orvillians present, but there are people who have been affiliated with Orville for a long time, who carry Orville in the heart, so that they can learn about the diversity that Orville attracts in human beings. And then they first get to know the organizational part mainly and get to know each other as a group, because they are coming to Orville as a group, right? So they have a network already, which is important that they can rely on someone if they're having a blue day or something. And in the second seminar, we talk more about India, Indian culture, from colonialism to sexism to economics and ecology. I think we try to cover a broad band, which is called global learning, which is my favorite part because it tries to put things into perspective and into context, so we're not talking out of the blue. And then they get prepared both for as well as you can prepare anyone for a year living abroad in India and in Orville in particular, but also general life tools, I'd say, about communication, interaction, teamwork. And I hope with fun. Let's put some fun in it too. And then they get, when they come to Orville, then they get an orientation week, which Karin and Gabi and Jürgen and other people are involved. They show them around, and after about 6 months, they get a midterm seminar, which we did the last time with another organization in Coimbatore, which I really liked, because then they get out of the luxury that is Orville, because when living in Orville, you forget sometimes that you have everything you need at the tip of your fingers. Other volunteers literally live off rice for a whole year, and in Orville it's like, I don't feel like rice today. Let's see what's I don't know, bread and chocolate has on offer today. So, you know, there's, again, and to make people aware that Orville is not India per se, but Orville is a special place. I really enjoyed that. And then they come back to Germany for the farewell and reflectory seminar for a week, which we spend very remotely somewhere so that they can't can't run off and indulge the city life, but they have to spend a week with me somewhere in the middle of nowhere. But I'm a kind person, so I provide them with a lake which they can use for swimming. I'll try to be nice. Let's see.
And what would you say are some of the most touching or inspiring things you witnessed or you got to share while being with these young people coming here and seeing them before and during and after? Maybe in a more general sense. Of course, we're not saying names and we don't reveal details.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Of people, but
I'd say it's what we do is by this program, they are required to write 4 reports every 3 months. They have to write, let's say, 2 pages reflecting on either the project or personal development. Usually it involves holidays and where they travel to, you know, different. They just share freely on their perspective and on their experience. And what I do is at the end of their stay, so in the final seminar, I select quotes which I find the most touching, and then we read them out loud. And what usually strikes me is the amount of gratitude most people have learned, in the sense of I'm a blessed person, in the sense of I was allowed to experience this, and I know it was not always easy, but I know that I've grown from it and I've learned so much, and I appreciate the people who are dedicated to making this possible. And I'm not talking about AVI Germany. We are just a little part, but it's the people in Oroville who make this experience so valuable, that they, a lot of them experience a certain freedom for the first time. I mean, they are young when they do it. I mean, the program is open to people between 18 and 28, but most of them are in their early 20s, if that. And they... yeah, they experience I don't like the word, but still I'll use it, multiculturalism, of having people from all over the world, and you can strike up a conversation with them and you find something that can connect you to them. You don't have to be friends with the whole world, but, you know, it's not about race, religion, or education, you name it, whatever we tend to put people into boxes to, or what we... In the West, I think, or in most countries or everywhere in the world, you surround yourself with people who are similar to you. You know, we are all homophiles, it's called, which I think is a very interesting word. We love what is like us, which I think is boring. But this is, I think, the gratitude and people really becoming aware that they went on a journey that made them grow, and the gratitude that they can express, and that they can, and most people come back. And what I find touching is if I can see that they come back stronger, in the sense of that they've gained some sense of self security, but also a sense of self, in the sense I know a little bit more of who I am and where I want to go and what I want to do. And and see personalities changing. Someone who's maybe very outgoing can find quiet moments, or people discovering the matrimandir from themselves, whom on the first glance, to me, I would never have asked them to even take a peek. So the discoveries that you can find something which seemed very opposite to your character, and then you like it, and and probably many more things.
Wow. Thanks. Thank you for doing that work. But you do many other things also. For example, you're working...
For example. I'm currently writing a nonfiction book, which is called The Silent Global Revolution. And it deals with, everything I do deals with this game of individual and collective. But in The Silent Global Revolution, I'm looking at projects that make a difference, trying to bridge differences in society, which we created so that people come and meet each other, you know, step out of your comfort zone, out of your stereotypical thinking, and just trying to meet the person about whom you have a negative approach. For instance, I've defined that there, or discovered in my research, that there are 5 dividing lines which can be found in nearly every country, which run along race, religion, gender, wealth and class, and what I've called age and otherly, and other bodily features, because I'm tired of the generation gap or anything, because age is age. We all do age, but with that come different perceptions. But I can be friends with anybody, but I'm not friends with anybody, and it doesn't matter the year they were born. Yeah. And I find this really inspiring, because it's sort of, it shows you that there are many positive things happening in the world, which we don't usually are aware of, which happen on the sideline. And I'd like to make them more prominent and inspire people to, first of all, not to lose hope, and second of all, to get pragmatic and active to take up your own little project and meet someone whom you thought, I'll never be friends with that person. Let's see if we can make it happen. Change our perception of the other person.
And is there anything particularly that you feel inspired to share from those examples?
Let me think. There are so many, because what I like about it is the diversity of projects that unfold. One of them, which is now more renowned, but one of the projects I like is called the Parent Circle. It's an initiative in Israel, and it started out by a Palestinian woman and an Israeli woman, a Jewish woman, who both had lost their sons in one of the conflicts. They both were killed, and instead of going into revenge and all this feeling of anger and hate towards one another, they shared a moment. They sat down and talked and realized that they were actually sharing the same pain. You know, the loss of your son is something that I think parents can relate to, and it sort of transcends the notion of religion or any other category you want to put another person into, if you want to give it that chance. And these two women started talking, and out of that developed a parent circle, what they called. So basically parents shared their story of how they lost their child with the sort of opposition, with the other group who was responsible, and realized that they were actually sharing the same pain. And out of that, over the years, has grown quite a lot charity, and they're doing work to connect or trying to bridge this religious divide which runs so deep in Israel. That's one of the projects. I look a lot into religious projects for some reason, but there are others, like a completely different one is called Los Hombres Tejedores, the Knitting Men. They're from Chile, and they started the project because they wanted to question, what is it to be a man? What is masculinity? And in Chile, you have this whole macho attitude, you know, a man has to be a certain way, men don't cry. And certainly men don't knit. So it started that they realized that knitting was actually a tradition years ago. I don't know if centuries or just decades. Men would knit too, but it's sort of been a lost tradition. And they started to learn to form knit circles and learn to knit together. And then at one point they decided to knit in public. And they were actually quite frightened. And we're talking about a group of men, and to me, sometimes, you know, a group of people should always be strong, right? Because you're not alone. And they felt threatened because people were questioning them. What are you doing? This is unmanly behavior and everything. But they kept going at it because they would just want to show a different side of, you know, everybody can do what they want. It's not about gender. And the story got popular, and they found copycats, if you will, in Brazil, in Peru, and even in the Ukraine and in Germany. And I like the idea that positive ideas of changing perception can be shared freely and inspire people to become active, to make a difference in this world, so we create the world we want to live in and not the world that is currently at place.
It reminds me of Orville and the experience of young people that we talked about before, that often I find that it's not really that measurable or attributable to Orville, this the kind of things they might share wherever they might go afterwards into the world or what kind of fields of work. But then when I hear sometimes the things they do, like some start their own communities in Germany, like that's sort of like one of the most inspiring things. And it's not like the name of the community is somehow related to Orville or to the philosophy or anything. But I mean, it's like when one talks to them, it's at least to me, it seems clear that this experience of being here and that it's possible, as you said, no, it's possible to try something different together did really inspire them. And these communities, for example, it's not something, again, something that's not very much publicized, no, all these alternative attempts, which I also find very inspiring. So thank you for writing that book. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Yeah, no pressure.
So you let us know
we'll have another talk then in a while. Let's see how things develop and progress in the meantime.
Great. Yeah, I look forward to that. This was so far. I mean, I feel like revealing that this was very spontaneous.
Yeah, you can. I've not spoken a word before speaking to Matthias on Orville Radio because it's just morning. But I'm a bubbly person in the morning. That's okay.
And I literally asked you 5 or 10 minutes before we started. So thank you so much, because I think this was a great, great start to whatever might come in the future on Zoom, on the Orville Radio, because I'm really happy that we can have these kind of conversations and hear from you, from inspiring people, have inspiring things to share, and feel this connection also, no?
Yeah, definitely.
Around
the
world.
The idea of sharing about different worldviews and sitting down and talking, sometimes a good way to learn about each other as well. And we can do it despite the distance.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fascinating. Is there anything else you feel like sharing, pitching, or?
Pitching. Gosh, no, my brain is still waking up. We're lucky we did this in the morning. Imagine if this had been in the afternoon and my brain was on full mode. No.
I wouldn't have had to say anything. That would have been great for me.
Out of the comfort zone is where the magic lies.
Yeah, right. This was, like that. I mean, I feel like we just jumping into this was a good exercise. Okay.
That's always good.
Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best for, I'm not going to ask about the current situation of the VetVets program and all that kind of stuff.
We're working towards sending VetVets volunteers back to India.
Yay!
That's the current state. Yay!
Yay!
On a high note, optimism!
Yay! Yeah, and all the best for your book, and give big hugs to our family in Berlin.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
And we're looking forward to having you back here visiting one time again. And yeah, let's leave it at that.
Yeah, let's see when that might happen. Okay. All the best. Bye. Thanks for listening, dear listeners.